the Miami Heat, for the second time in the last 3 years, going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
The Eastern Conference Finals are here.
They close out this series in 6 games, winning on Philly's home floor, 99-90.
It is time. Miami is about to feel the heat en route to a championship.
Congratulations to the Heat. On they go to the conference final. They certainly deserve it. They were clearly the better team.
Things are heating up with Ken Lavica and Theo Dorsey. Presented by Brightline, South Florida Ford, Cleveland Clinic Florida, Breakers Palm Beach, the Bev Smith Auto Group, and EDS Air Conditioning. Are you feeling the heat yet?
Hey, time to wake up. Your night's just beginning. Like, legitimately just beginning. We are still an hour and 45 minutes until tip-off here on ESPN 106.3 Heat Celtics Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals. So it's time to make some coffee, maybe some cafecito, a cafe con leche, maybe it's pounding sodas, Red Bulls, 5-hour energy, but just know, you can't nod off now, and this isn't a time to take a nap because you're going to be too sleepy to wake up and get ready for tip-off. So you got to ride this straight through. Mm. Heat culture doesn't sleep. Well, unless it's a blowout in the fourth quarter, then it might sleep. Heating up here on ESPN 106.3, we are leading you into the Eastern Conference Finals for the second time in 3 seasons. The Heat and Celtics battle for the right to go to the NBA Finals. Tip-off 8:45. Our coverage begins at 8 o'clock on the network. But it is myself, Ken Lavica, Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29, and Friday Night Lights' Stone Labanowicz, otherwise known as the Monday-Tuesday crew, weekdays noon to 2, Ken Lavica Live, heating up here on ESPN 106.3. So here we are. We have gotten to a point that we expected the Heat to be to. Last time we did this show, Heating Up, it was a large discussion about Joel Embiid, his face, his thumb, how the Heat would match up, how could they match the Sixers on the interior once Embiid came back, how could they exploit the poor perimeter defense of the 76ers, what was James Harden going to be, and we got all of those answers, and honestly, I think that we were pretty close to sort of prognosticating what that series was going to end up being. The Heat took care of business in 6, and now here we go against the Celtics. And honestly, it feels like the Celtics are the team that basketball observers desperately want to see get to the finals because it's the Celtics, because Jason Tatum, the babyface, there is now a push to elevate him into the top tier in the NBA to put him on that pedestal. And this is going to have to be one of those series then because Jason Tatum's going to get calls. There's momentum going Jason Tatum's way. The Heat are going to have to go bully ball in this series. They're just going to have to be the efficient defensive group that we know they can be, and it's probably going to have to ruffle some feathers.
From the moment that ball tips up in about an hour and a half or so until that final buzzer, that final horn at FTX, Jason Tatum has to feel the most uncomfortable he's ever felt. And I mean that not just for game one, but however many games the series takes. They cannot allow Jason Tatum to be as free and play as well as he did, especially in that Bucks series down the stretch. He's not going for 46 against these Heat.
So let's just sort of give our assessments so far of how we think the Heat have played. 2 series down, 1 more to go before the NBA Finals. You beat the Hawks in 5. You beat the 76ers in 6 games. And I think if we're going scale of 1 to 10, let's do scale of 1 to 10 here. The Heat collectively in this postseason, and we'll start it with you, Stone. This is a Heat team that had the 1 seed. I think that the common perception is, oh, well, this was a season where a lot of the teams were banged up, especially in the East, or there were acquisitions where teams weren't their complete selves until they went into the postseason. So maybe the Heat just sort of, by the nature of what the regular season was, got the 1 seed. But now here they are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Scale of 1 to 10, how they've played, consistency, efficiency, messages sent, matchups won. How would you grade out the Heat?
I'd have to go 8. 8 out of 10 because they've gotten rid of the teams early and have been able to rest and prepare for the next series. I mean, they're undefeated at home, and I think outscoring their opponents at home by 17 points is not just an anomaly and not just a joke. I think that's something serious, and we could see it tonight potentially in game one.
Theo, 1 through 10, what are you giving the Heat here through two series?
I'll be a little more harsh. I'll give them 7. And the main reason is you failed to out teams when you should have. I think the Hawks should have been a sweep. It's hard to sweep teams in the NBA, especially teams that have the amount of confidence that the Hawks have and do it on the road. That game 3, I believe it was, in Atlanta, that was a failed opportunity. And I also think that with the Sixers winning one of those in Philly between game 3 and 4, if they would have done that, I would feel more confident. Because a 7 is like status quo. The Heat did what they should have done. They beat the Hawks in 5. They beat the Sixers in 6. Like, that's not wowing me. It's also not unimpressive. So right there in the middle, 7.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to give them a 7. And it's not like, Stone, your 8 is anything where we're like, what are you talking
about? Yeah,
it's on par. It's fine. But I agree with Theo because there's still too many offensive lapses with the Heat. There are still too many back ends of the second quarter or the third quarter where things just go to hell. I mean, the first two games of that Sixers series, the final 3 minutes of the second quarter was unwatchable Heat basketball. And there's too much reliance on Jimmy right now for a collective Heat offensive unit that I think is perfectly capable of scoring ability-wise with the Celtics. I said it. I think that top to bottom, and there is no doubt that the Heat are the deepest roster left in this postseason of any of the four teams. But even on the offensive end, I think they can score with the Celtics when they're right. And none of the guys have been right. Victor Oladipo, has he had his moments? Sure. Has he been great? No. Tyler Hero, you have no idea on a night-to-night basis, man, what you're getting from Tyler Hero. Bam Adebayo, are you getting aggressive Bam? Are you getting passive Bam? I like Bam who lives at the free throw line. Bam in the Philadelphia series, late in the series, started to be Bam that lived at the free throw line, that wasn't scared to attack. That's good. Early in the series, Bam, not good enough. Bam in the Atlanta series, not good enough. So it has been an effective run through the postseason, but I agree with you, Theo. This has been very much a... this is what we expected performance from the Heat. They were the one seed. We all believe they were the one seed for a reason. It wasn't fluky. They were the best team with all the circumstances of what the Eastern Conference was this year. They were the best team. They battled as many injuries and inconsistency with what was available of any team in the Eastern Conference, and they came out on top, and now here they are in the Eastern Conference final. So I'll give them a 7, but it's also why, because there's that room for improvement, and they've had rest. They haven't had to go to a game 7. They haven't had to tax themselves. Their stars don't have nearly the amount of minutes that the Celtics have had to put on their stars, and namely Jason Tatum so far in this postseason. I'm encouraged by what the Heat could potentially do in the Eastern Conference Finals.
You have to be at this point. I mean, at this point, they've done nothing to discourage belief. The one thing that they can prove in this series, and I think they'll be forced to, is can you win? Not just win. Can your role players show up on the road? That's the true mark of a championship team, when you're able to get points from guys that you don't necessarily expect them to in hostile environments, and it doesn't get more hostile than the Boston Garden.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, Philadelphia, no slouch playing there, too, in the Heat after the initial struggles in Game 3 and 4. I mean, they snuffed out that crowd in Game 6. But you're right, Boston's not a completely different animal, but I think Boston probably is near the top of the home court heap.
It's up there because of, not just because of how unruly the fans can be, but also the history of, like, Lucky the Leprechaun and just all of that comes with the aura, as Stone Labanowitz loves to say, of the Celtics' pride and the history there. I think a lot of that weighs on guys that are new to it, like a Duncan Robinson might have been if that wasn't in the bubble and that was really out in Boston.
But there is only one team left in the playoffs that have been undefeated at home in the postseason.
Who's that, Ken?
That's the Miami Heat. So we can talk about TD Garden all we want and the Celtics fans. And it's a raucous environment. But the team that has held serve and done so emphatically, there has been one close game that they've had. And that was the closeout without Jimmy Butler, without Kyle Lowry in that game 5 against Atlanta.
Yep.
Other than that, everything has been a lopsided rout at FTX Arena. And that's the side of game 1 tonight, 8:45 tip time right here on ESPN 106.3 Heat Celtics game number 1. I want to begin everything here on Heating Up with this conversation. We know Jimmy's the guy. Jimmy Butler is the best player in this postseason. And not best player remaining in the postseason. I don't want to get into the Luka versus Jimmy versus Tatum conversation versus Steph conversation. But I mean, as far as what we've seen, the body of work in this postseason, statistically, nobody's better than Jimmy. Both sides of the ball, nobody's been better than Jimmy. Jimmy Butler is the guy. We know that. Ime Udoka knows that. The Celtics as a team know that. The dope on the street corner understands that, okay? So this means that the Heat are going to have a secondary option. Because when you're talking Celtics, Jason Tatum's always the first name that's thrown out there. And then, I mean, the observers, the media love to say, and then Jaylen Brown. And then Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And then Al Horford. So the Celtics, the perception is they have all of these secondary options. But the Heat, who's going to score other than Jimmy? Which also shows me that people just don't watch the Heat, right? But there is going to have to be someone if Jimmy does have a bad night. And don't forget, in losses, he scored 35 and 40 respectively in that Philly series. Who's going to step up? Who's going to take on the burden? Who, when Jimmy finally does have a rough night, can pick up the slack? Who is the most important Heat player other than Jimmy in this series? And I am waiting for any sort of consistency for Tyler Hero. Has he had spurts? Yes. Has he had moments? Absolutely. Has it been often enough? No. The Tyler Hero that is uncomfortable with the basketball, bad late in the shot clock, taking off-balance jumpers, unsure of where to go with the ball, I don't know where that guy came from because he wasn't a part of this Heat team in the regular season. But the postseason has come, and there are times he looks clueless out there.
Tough.
Like where he's killing the Heat on offense. And then he'll roll off 9, 10, 11 straight points, and you say, there's Tyler, but it's not happening enough. And it's not happening on the road. When do we get the consistent Tyler Hero that won Sixth Man of the Year? He, to me, has to have a 25-point game, a couple of 25-point games in this series. He can't have the ineffective 7 or 8 points. He needs to play a scoring role and do it consistently and score in bunches. Tyler Hero, other than Jimmy, the most important Heat player in this series.
That's a good take because scoring, especially in the half court, I mean, we hear it over and over and over
in
again.
In this series, you got to do it.
And I get it. So, like, that's a really good point. I think when I think of most important, I think of who can the Heat least afford to lose in this series. So I start to think of which guys, if they go down, God forbid, with an injury, would the Heat just be over and done with and cooked? And I keep going back to Bam Adebayo. Like, Bam Adebayo's presence, the reason why people don't look at him as like the wild card or the X factor or is he going to be important is because he's consistently good on the defensive end, elite on the defensive end, and here and there he has his spurts offensively. I don't even think he has to have one of those series where he's dominant offensively and gets a bunch of 20 and 10 games, but his importance as a backline defender, as a guy that can also switch out onto Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown and not just hold his own but shut them down, as a guy that's going to clear up the boards and get rebounds for Miami, that's going to be important because in a series like this, when the games are going to be 85 to 87 and 91 to 83 and whatnot, like you're going to need and value every single possession. And Bam is a guy that consistently wins you possession after possession.
Stone, I want you to listen to these numbers real quick. Let's go back 2 years ago to the Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble. Bam Adebayo in the six-game series against the Celtics, 39 minutes a game, so we stayed on the floor. Leading scorer for the Heat at 21.8 points per game, 11 rebounds a game, over 5 assists per game, and good for almost 2 steals a game. That truly was Bam Adebayo. The Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, that was Bam Adebayo's finest career moment. Was those 6 games against the Celtics.
And the block.
Dominant. And the block.
Yeah.
Heard round the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
The block of Jason Tatum, which Jason Tatum was not the same Jason Tatum for like a full year and a half.
Yeah.
Through all of last season and the halfway through this season, Jason Tatum was not the same after that block. And then he's finally back to the Jason Tatum unrelenting, no-ceiling type of player, but that affected Jason Tatum. But Bam Adebayo in that series was the best player on the floor. What can the Heat do to get that Bam Adebayo.
I mean, the Bam has to be assertive. But for me, I agree with you, Ken, in the X factor being Tyler Hero, because I don't think from what we've seen in the past 3-4 months that anybody can get that 25-point game besides Jimmy and Tyler Hero. Bam hasn't eclipsed that 20-point game in a while. And it seems like that's not kind of where he's asserting himself, so hopefully he does. But I think the only man who can help the box score alongside Jimmy Butler is Tyler Hero. So there's my X factor.
Mm. And Tyler Hero was really good against the Celtics in his rookie season, Eastern Conference Finals. He shot 52% in that series. Bam Adebayo, 60% in that series.
He was a dog.
He really was. So the Heat, Celtics, this is a very different matchup, though. Despite the cores being the same, very different matchup this time around. And we'll go through some of the differences in the roster. Why this Eastern Conference Finals will be different than the one in the bubble 2 seasons ago, other than the fact that in 2020, that was in the bubble.
Right.
There's a lot of differences, a lot of personnel. How do they match up? How do they stack up? Heat Celtics Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals, and it's here on ESPN 106.3. Our network coverage begins in about 45 minutes or so. We'll come back, and we'll continue to preview Heat Celtics. He's Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29. Still in the Banowitz, Friday Night Lights. I'm Ken Lavica. It's heating up, leading in to Heat Celtics Eastern Conference Finals right here on ESPN 106.
The Eastern Conference Finals are here. It is time. Things are heating up with Ken Lavica and Theo Dorsey. Presented by Brightline, South Florida Ford, Cleveland Clinic Florida, Breakers Palm Beach, the Bev Smith Auto Group, and EDS Air Conditioning. Are you feeling the heat yet?
Game 1, Heat Celtics. ESPN 106.3 is your playoff home for the Heat. It is Ken Lavica, Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29, Stone Labanowitz, Friday Night Lights, bringing in a network coverage here of the Eastern Conference Finals. And Theo Dorsey, why don't you tell us a little bit about Bev Smith?
Well, you know, Bev Smith Auto Group wants you to buy your used vehicle. That's right. Actually, Bev Smith Auto Group wants to buy your used vehicle. They don't want you to buy it. You already have it. And get a slam dunk deal on your old ride because it has never been worth more than that is right now. In fact, bring it into Bev Smith Auto Group and it may be worth up to $10,000 more than you think. So if you think you're upside down on your current vehicle, you might be right side up. Hurry for an offer you can't refuse at Bev Smith Auto Group today.
All right, so let's hear from Matt Barnes, who was on First Take. And Matt Barnes is aligned with you a bit, Theo. We were discussing the player other than Jimmy that needs to step up most, the most important Heat player, not Jimmy, in this series against the Celtics. And you said Bam, and I agree. I completely agree I said Hero, but if there's a secondary guess that I have, and your first guess was Bam Adebayo, and Bam was massive. We went through it. He was the leading scorer at over 21 a game in the bubble Eastern Conference Finals. Matt Barnes, right on board with Theo Dorsey.
I think it's going to have to be Bam. His numbers were a little down last series against Philly, and the Celtics are a big team up front with Horford and Grant and those guys. So I look for Bam Adebayo to be as electric as he was in the bubble. He's going to have to be that consistent second guy that Jimmy can depend on.
Not unreasonable. Unreasonable at all.
And I think with Bam, I think his play might even get even higher or more inclined when Kyle Lowry comes back into the series because he'll have, again, another guy that can facilitate, that can get him the ball in the right spots. But Bam, it's going to be harder this year. It's going to be harder. Al Horford is he's a problem. He's a menace on defense. Grant Williams is a stocky guy. You can't really back him down. And even Tatum and Brown are long enough, and they're a little stronger, a little bit more mature. You're not going to just be able to bully them like Giannis. I mean, Bam's imposing. He's not Giannis. So I am a little worried. I want to see what game one is like and see if he's able to make a stamp on this series.
So let's start with the front court then. The focus, it seems like to you, you're really concerned about the front court. And it is definitely, and Matt Barnes pointed it out, definitely where you've got to at least pay significant attention to. A lot of talk about Jason Tatum. What can he do? Is he going to go off? Is he going to get his buckets? Is he just going to pour it in like he did against the Bucks, especially in that game 6? Well, the front court, and what a difference 2 years makes. Grant Williams in the bubble Eastern Conference Finals, he only played 8 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Only 8 minutes a game. He was hardly a blip on the radar in that series.
And it's like now, a little Energizer Bunny here
yeah,
and there.
Yeah, and that was it. But now he is a legitimate part of what the Celtics want to do on offense. He is a legitimate part of their rotation, and he was massive in that Bucks series at times. So it's not just Horford, and we'll get to him in a second, but he is a massive part of what they're trying to do. And you see Grant Williams now, where he is coming into this series, and he is at 11 points per game. He is a 41% three-point shooter. He's rebounding at an almost 5-per-game clip.
Yeah.
So he's certainly someone you have to pay attention to.
That's what made it so weird to me. I mean, I get what Coach Bud and the Bucks were trying to do by leaving Grant Williams open, because it's a mind game at that point. When you leave somebody wide open, it messes with them a little bit, makes them overthink their shot. But Grant Williams was the best corner three shooter in the league this year. Grant Williams, again, like you said, shooting 41% from deep. And if your game plan is to leave him wide open and that never changes, of course he's going to hurl in 7 threes. Like, it was weird. Hopefully the Heat don't take any pages from the Mike Budenholzer book.
Well, I would advise. I know he's a championship coach, but I would advise that most times when it comes to basketball. Yeah. But I think that the big that all the discussion has revolved around has been Al Horford.
Yeah.
The guy is ageless, and he had a big series against Milwaukee. Game 4 was massive for him, and Marcus Smart saying that Al Horford is a guy that you strive to be like. So now you've got the setup of Bam and P.J. Tucker against Al Horford and Grant Williams.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be monstrous grand scheme of things.
It's advantage Heat in both, but
yeah,
it's one of those things where it's like when the Heat are on offense and the Celtics are on defense, it might play to a draw. It's advantage Heat in the total sum, but defensively, I think Grant Williams, again, P.J. Tucker's main thing is being able to crash the boards offensively or hit the corners for threes. Grant Williams, a hard guy to move. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be able to bully him like he does a lot of guys.
I know that our lasting image of the Celtics from that Game 7 is Grant Williams coming and just popping triples.
Yeah.
But beat the Heat trying to do that.
I mean, absolutely. But, I mean, I see Grant Moore as the assignment. Like, he was the one sticking KD. And he was the one who took the Giannis assignment when they would switch, and they didn't have a problem with him being on that. So I'm not afraid of him hitting threes. Yeah, he's capable of doing it. But it's more so defending Jimmy Butler correctly. Like, I think he's capable of doing it at times, and we'll see it, and they're going to be able to duke it out. But, yeah, I agree. I'm afraid of what he's able to do at times on defense.
The difference is Grant Williams isn't even really that good of a defender. We saw this even – he's I'm not saying he's bad.
No, it's all effort-based.
Yeah, it's effort-based, but it's also – defending Giannis takes a special skill set. You have to be able to move your feet at a certain speed. You also have to be sturdy enough to be able to have a low enough center of gravity so he can't move you. That's why Blake Griffin had a decent shot at it last year with the Nets, and he's a terrible defender. And that's why Grant Williams, you can't play Jimmy Butler the way you played Giannis.
Right.
If you're Grant Williams. Like, right. Jimmy can take that mid-range jumper over you and hit it at a very high clip.
So let's look at the rosters from the bubble, where the Heat won in 6, again, 2 years ago in Orlando. So Bam Adebayo was your leading scorer. We obviously know. Here he is. He's present.
He's back.
Ready to go. Goran Dragic was your point guard. So now Goran Dragic gave way to Kyle Lowry, but Kyle Lowry is not able to go in this series. So that immediately becomes problematic if you're the Heat. Kyle Lowry is going to be missed. And we haven't even brought him up to this point because the Heat have been able to tread water and excel without Kyle Lowry, but this is the type of series that scares me where there's no Kyle Lowry. If these games are coming down to the final 2 minutes, I want him with the ball in his hands organizing the offense, and I don't know if we see him at all.
I don't know. I mean, I know for sure we're not seeing him tonight. Like, that's not happening. And do we see him in Miami in these first two games in general? Kyle Lowry is such a heady player. He's such a, again, we're talking about winning every possession. Kyle Lowry is one of those guys that wins you 50-50 balls, that outsmarts guys that he's up against. And then with Marcus Smart on the other
side. That's Marcus Smart for them, and we won't see him tonight as well, though. So they almost equal each other out.
Well, I think he'll play. I think Marcus Smart will play.
Marcus Smart's going to play.
He's questionable. He's going to play with a foot sprain. He's playing.
Yeah. The question is he how effective is he with the foot sprain, and does he re-aggravate it? But he'll play.
Now, what's wild statistically, the Celtics have been better defensively with him off the floor in the playoffs so far.
Hmm.
That is bizarre. And I don't even know how to explain that.
Well, sometimes those on-off things are like, okay, Marcus Smart is out of the game because, you know, the bench players are in, and this game's over and whatnot. So sometimes that's the way they explain it. But the guy is technically defensive player of the year.
Now, that means that right now you've swapped out Goran Dragic from that series where he was awesome at 20 points per game, and in comes Gabe Vincent. Not great. Doesn't make you feel good. I love Gabe Vincent, but not Kyle Lowry.
It simply doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah, it does. It makes me uneasy. Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson was shooting a 40% clip from three in that series.
So here's the good thing. You take Duncan Robinson out and you put in Max Strus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a net gain for the Heat because of
Max
all the
Max Strus is a better overall player.
He's a better overall player. You take out a guy like Goran Dragic, and maybe you say you sub in Vincent and Oladipo. Mm-hmm. Like, they're both kind of filling that role right now.
You're counting Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala.
Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala go away, but P.J. Tucker comes in.
Exactly.
And I think he's a good blend of what both of them gave you.
Yeah, but I think the problem with that is he mentioned Goran was scoring 20 a game.
That's going to
be everybody
tough.
Else you're naming is not even getting near 20
they're
a
not
game.
Doing it.
Oladipo, if he gives us 20, we will riot. That will be awesome, and he's not going to do it.
You know what the real problem is?
Max Strus can give you 20 a game.
He could. He's averaging three-pointers a game.
Tyler Hero can give you 20 a game.
That's where we have a problem. Hard stop right there. Tyler Hero, where is the real development, at least when it comes to this postseason? I know during the season he averaged 20 a game.
Yeah.
He was great. He was sixth man of the year.
He was just wearing that bubble boy hoodie.
I know.
Got rid of that notion.
But Tyler Hero, I need to see it now. He has to wake up, not just in this series, but tonight in game one at FTX with the home crowd cheering him on.
Wake
the hell up. He's averaging, what, like 13 points a game this postseason?
Now, we keep talking about offense with Tyler Hero. Here's something where he has been really, really consistent. Christian Hernandez, Miami Heat beat, tweets, the Miami Heat have been an 89.7 defensive rating in the 225 minutes Tyler Hero's been off the court this postseason. The Heat have a 113.3 defensive rating in Hero's 303 minutes. So what he has lacked in scoring, I mean, he's been a very effective part of their defensive approach, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, the energy's there. The effort's there. Just most of the shots that we're used to him making aren't falling right now.
Now, the Celtics, remember, Kemba Walker was a massive part of what they wanted to do in the bubble. He scored at almost 20 points a game in that series. And Gordon Hayward as well, who was coming off of injury.
Yep, he came back.
But he came back in that series, was not very good, certainly had his problems in that series. This very much is a better Boston team.
For sure.
And I would argue a better coached Boston team than what they had in the bubble.
Ime Udoka definitely has shown himself, at least to this date, to be an upgrade over what's his name?
Sorry to the Stevens stats.
Brad Stevens. I forgot. He's in the front office. Yeah. I forgot all about the guy. But no, I think the Celtics have gotten older. They've matured. Tatum and Brown, both a couple years older. They've grown in their decision-making. Like, that's the thing that's scariest about the Celtics team. In 2020, it was a lot more individualism.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot more hero ball. Now, you see a lot more of them playing cohesively and them trusting in each other, and they've known each other for so long. That's the scary part.
I was going to mention that, Theo, when he brought up Kemba Walker, because it almost seemed like now that Kemba's gone, it's almost a weight off Jason Tatum's shoulders. Now, he can be the guy who facilitates, goes and gets buckets. So I think Kemba at times was almost a detriment.
And nobody, and now there's nobody you can pick on in that Celtics lineup.
Yeah, that's the tough part. Yeah. Right. And you could absolutely go after Hayward if you wanted in that series.
Hayward and
you could
Walker.
Go off of Kemba. Right.
Yeah.
And in this series, it becomes increasingly more difficult.
There's nobody they've put on that floor that you can pick on. Maybe Peyton Pritchard at times, depending on who he's matched up with. But there's nobody that they really play regularly 20-plus minutes a game that you can say, okay, let's get a switch. Let's get Jimmy Butler into his spot, and he'll get a bucket.
I think that the Celtics have a better roster than they did 2 years ago, top to bottom.
Yes.
I think it's a wash with the Heat, with the Kyle Lowry injury. It's a wash with the Heat. But you also have the Heat's best player, the face of the team, Jimmy Butler, having a significantly greater postseason to this point than he did in the bubble. He was under 20 points a game in that Boston series. We remember him for the legendary two games against the Lakers in the finals, and he was good in the bubble. But Jimmy Butler was held in check for the most part. Now he's been a behemoth in this postseason. So I can't wait to see him attack this Celtics defense here tonight. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals, Heat Celtics right here on ESPN 106.3. When we return, we talk with the Minister of Heat Culture here on ESPN 106.3. Hear him every day, 11:55 a.m., 5:55 p.m. Evan Cohen joins us next to preview the series. He's Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29. Stone Labanowitz, Friday Night Lights. I'm Ken Levick. I'm live on ESPN 106.3.
The Eastern Conference Finals are here. It
is time. Things are heating up with Ken Lavica and Theo Dorsey. Presented by Brightline, South Florida Ford, Cleveland Clinic Florida, Breakers Palm Beach, the Bev Smith Auto Group, and EDS Air Conditioning. Are you feeling the heat yet?
Heating up as we get set for Heat Celtics. Boy, is it late. Oh, boy. 8:45 tip time here on ESPN 106.3. But like I said, there's no nap time now. You're past that time. You're not going to be able to wake up. You're going to be groggy. So just get the caffeine, get the coffee. Make sure that you got a 5-hour energy, a Red Bull on hand, and let's ride. Let's get into the Heat culture, and let's make sure we're ready for game one. Heating up here on ESPN 106.3. Theodore, CWP TV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29, Stone Labanowitz, Friday Night Lights, and joining us now, you hear him every day, twice a day, here on ESPN 106.3, 11:55 a.m., 5:55 p.m. He is our resident Heat homer. He is our minister of the Heat here at ESPN 106.3. Evan Cohen joins us. And Evan, I got to be honest, I like having you on to give insight on the series. But for me now, because I'm weird, it's become a superstitious thing. Like I needed you on because this is your third appearance on Heating Up. They have won the previous two series. So this really was a superstitious thing for me.
Okay, well, a couple things. First of all, I don't want to hear Theo agreeing with you on the it's late. This is a man who works at night, is all pretty at night with makeup on. Give
point.
Me a break. Ken and I are going to have drool out of our mouths. Oh, get us there. Oh, the other kid's not asleep yet. Oh, God, please. God. This is awful. This is Ken running the marathon all over again.
Yeah.
Getting to 8:45,
exhausting.
Which is what I read the tips. Actually,
yeah.
Going to be at 8:45, which is rough. And by the way, don't think I didn't think, and I didn't say anything to anybody, but I'll tell you, I was ready to. When I saw the schedule come out and this special was going to air right now here on ESPN 106.3, and I'm like, geez, nobody called me, and I've been on the other two. I had some thoughts. I was ready to pounce. I probably would have blamed Stone. That's my move now. And I got the call. So I am now, thank you. I am happy to be a superstition. Not, you don't actually want me on. You just want a superstitious win.
Can I be honest with you, Evan?
Yeah.
There might have been a call to Jay Will first, and you were the second guy. I'm just being honest because I'm trying to have your back because I know you were excited to get that call and you're excited to join us. But there might have been a separate call that happened first, and you picked up.
Man, is that true?
Let me explain. Okay, first of all,
yeah, I'd like to hear this explanation.
First of all,
Theo knows where his bread is buttered. Theo may have started whenever he started, but the year before that, he and I were already talking, so he knows where his bread is buttered. Obviously, Ken, you don't, you little twerp.
Go ahead. I want to make sure everybody understands. I was a late entry into the roster here for Heating Up. Okay,
you were now. You were okay.
I was a late entry.
You literally host every show. The entire station is built around you. You can't say you're a late entry.
That was not the case until
you're the
yesterday.
First, no,
though.
This is not 2010 Ken Lavica. This is 22. Whole station is WKLV. Don't give me this garbage.
So what the plan
you're
was going to be.
You're the star now. I'm the guest. You're the star.
We were waiting for Jay Will to make a prediction on the series. And we've had a little bit of a thing with him where we're not super pleased with his full embrace of Heat culture, and so we were expecting him to predict the Celtics, and then we were going to have him on Ken Lavica Live and then potentially re-air here on this show. It doesn't mean that you weren't going to appear on this show.
It kind of means that. Of course. Theo's kind of right.
I mean, Theo may have taken a liberty there. Was it a possibility? Sure. Was it an absolute?
By the way, what happened to the whole thing? Because I got a big email from Friday Night Lights that said, Jay Will has agreed to join us after every Heat win. Was that win of a game or win of a series? Because by my count, I think he's only been on once. So what happened with that?
Yeah, so one time Stone was on vacation, and I forgot to ask Stone to contact Jay Will. So that was on me. Yeah, okay. So that was good.
And he was on last Friday.
He was on last Friday, right?
Okay, so he was on twice.
He's owning up to it. He's owning up to those losses.
But then he ducked us. He ducked us today.
We did talk about it today. We think it was on purpose because he made his Boston prediction today. He wants to see how game one goes first before hopping on. He needs ammo.
You can't make a prediction after game one. That's not how predictions work.
Yeah. Well, he wants to gloat if the Celtics win. What do you think? What are you expecting from, I guess we're about an hour out now from tip-off at FTX. Evan, what are you expecting out of the Heat? Are they going to come out a little rusty because they had a couple days off, or are they going to let us go to sleep early maybe with a good blowout win at home?
Okay, so a couple things on that. First of all, yes, I think it's fair to bring up the rest versus rust thing, as it always is brought up when teams have a layoff. But I do want to point out, there's only one team in the Final Four here that had time off. Miami was the only one. It's like we forget they exist, which is exactly how the Heat want it, which I love, because that's what the Heat want. Like, be forgotten about, not be talked about, but like, Only one team clinched early and it's been sitting around waiting, and that's Miami. The thing that I'm most worried about, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I would be surprised if any game in this series would be a blowout. I think both of these teams, here's what I'll say, Theo, on that. I think both of these teams, different than a couple of years ago when they faced each other in the Eastern Conference Finals in 19 in the bubble or 20 in the bubble, whenever it was, at all times could have good defensive players on the floor. Like, you could have 10 defensive players on the floor at the same time, and there will never be, need to be a guy on the floor who's just there because he's so great on offense and there's no offensive slash defensive alternative. Like, the alternative for Duncan Robinson is Max Strus. If Tyler Hero, who you guys know I love, does not play well defensively, well, Victor Oladipo can get close enough to him offensively and is better than him defensively. There will never be a bad defender on the court. Kemba Walker's not on the Celtics anymore. Right. So the number one concern I have is who guards who. In other words, like, if you're going to start the defense, if they're playing man, the Heat, and you're going to start your defensive matchup with P.J. Tucker on Jason Tatum, play out the rest of it. Is Jimmy on Jaylen Brown? And if so, and the Celtics go there two bigs, does that mean Max Strus is guarding Al Horford?
Yeah.
Because the more Grant Williams... Right, so if Grant Williams has a starring role in this series and plays a lot, and I understand he was great in Game 7 against Milwaukee, I think that plays into the Heat's hands, because in that spot, Max Strus is about the same size as Grant Williams. I've stood next to Grant Williams, and he is so short, it's ridiculous. you can't believe how short he is, like P.J. Tucker style. So that would actually help the Heat. So if the Celtics go double big, which they did all year with Horford and Williams, that has me somewhat concerned, although I do wonder, Spo's the master of as a tactician and will be willing to pull out things he didn't use much during the season.
Uh-oh.
Would they play Deadman and Bam together? I'm not Markieff, yes, he's a Boca guy. Markieff, I don't know about. But yeah. Deadman and Bam, would they consider that?
Man, that would be awesome. I mean, I think that would be a possibility if they get going.
The only problem I have with that is that is just going to really shrink the floor. And you saw what the Celtics were able to do defensively against the Bucks when the floor was shrunk like that, because the Bucks couldn't knock down a three. That's going to make it that much more tough to get a bucket in the half court, which is going to be the storyline of this series. How many times?
Wait, why do you say that? Deadman can stretch.
Deadman can hit threes. Deadman can, but are they going to be that afraid of him? Just like Brook Lopez.
No, of course not. Oh, no, Brook Lopez is on a different level. Brook Lopez is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a different level. See, that's why I thought, John Martin texted me. I know you hear Sundays with Theo with first of every month of the Palm Beach Kennel Club. Theo's favorite show of the year.
Love it.
Loves working with J. Mart.
Yes.
Brilliant radio mind. A lot of people compare J. Mart and Howard Stern many times. J. Mart texted me the other day, and he said, who would you rather face, Milwaukee or Boston? And I said, believe it or not, Milwaukee, because the matchup is cleaner for Miami, because you would put Bam on Brook Lopez, PJ on Giannis, and the rest is fine. The problem with the Celtics is they have two long, big, strong 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", kind of wings that the Heat don't have many of those, believe it or not.
Yeah, I guess we were going through the rosters 2 years ago when they met in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think there's no doubt that the Celtics are better, but you did lose guys like Gordon Hayward and Kemba Walker. But for whatever reason, I think the Celtics have a better roster now. And I almost feel like, yes, you added Al Horford, but this is a better coached team. And this is a team that's finally realized a little bit of its potential. That's why they're better. As for the Heat, there's no longer a Jay Crowder on this roster. There's no Gorin on this roster.
PJ's better.
That's the thing. PJ's better, but now with Kyle Lowry, and God knows if we're going to see him again in this postseason, you've now gone from Goran Dragic, who was really good in the Eastern Conference Finals, to a Gabe Vincent. And so the Heat, maybe it's a wash what the roster was 2 years ago to where it is now, but it doesn't feel like the improvement level between what the Celtics have experienced from 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think Jimmy's better, though.
And that's the point I made. Like, Jimmy, he was the third leading scorer for the Heat in that series, and he's out of his mind right now.
Yeah, and I think the other guy that obviously we got to keep coming back to, and I've been waiting for it, is Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, and I've been saying all year he's a max player, I think he's phenomenal, et cetera, et cetera. I need to see it now. Like, and he was awesome against the Celtics. The first time we actually thought, oh my God, this guy is unbelievable, is against Boston. And I do anticipate we'll see that again. I'll tell you a sneaky name I think could get some run in this series. Caleb Martin.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
So, like, what's the scenario there?
Yeah. So if you want to try to balance out the defense, and if they play the double bigs with Robert Williams and Al Horford, and you want Jimmy to slide up and have to guard a big so PJ can guard Tatum, in that spot, in theory, you may play him over Strus, or you may just say, Jimmy, you're the one. and then play he and Strus together, because Strus is a better defender than people realize, and Caleb Martin is 6'5" and would have a better opportunity, I think, physically to guard Jaylen Brown. This is what I'm saying. Like, if you listen, you guys know I'm going to root for the Heat, and I'm going to pick the Heat no matter what, like, just blindly.
Sure.
But if you just look on paper and the way in which they match up, this is hard for the Heat. This is not a good matchup for them, in my opinion.
Man.
I was going to say it's a little tough. I looked specifically, you brought up Tyler Hero. Like, a guy that I wish Tyler Hero had developed to this level, and it sounds weird to even say this, is a guy like a Jordan Poole for the Warriors, who is able to do it a little bit more off the bounce and get by people. I do, like, when you're talking about...
Do you realize how bad Jordan Poole's been recently?
No, Jordan Poole's had some bad games, but Jordan Poole has been electric, and he can shoot the ball from it. Like, who's a better player to you right now, Jordan Poole or Tyler Hero?
Tyler Hero.
Wow. You're saying that. You know what he's averaging these playoffs?
I've seen Tyler... But Theo, this is where it all started. Tyler Hero had his coming out party against the Boston Celtics 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then was very good in the NBA Finals. Jordan Poole's about to play in the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals. By the way, they were in the same conference playing against each other in high school, Milwaukee. Side note.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ken, did you know that, Ken?
I did not know that. That's a terrible
Stone knew that. He just didn't want to tell you.
No, I had no clue. I'm still stunned you said Tyler Hero was a better player than Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole's better, but I mean, I want to hear his take on this.
Well, I value when you do it, right? Like, Tyler Hero, I saw do it in the biggest of moments. I don't think Jordan Poole's going to end up playing that much in the Western Conference Finals, because I think you're going to have to play Otto Porter and slide everybody down a little bit for the Warriors. But obviously, this is not a Warriors show, although I could host that one.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm very into the Warriors. I just think that, listen, I don't love this matchup for the Heat. And when I pick the Heat, it's simply out of one thing. I think they need to keep it grimy, nasty, ugly, mean, like, just muddy up the game and just make it just like, oh, God, ugly. Like, this is just, like, the more unwatchable this series is, I think the better it is for the Heat.
Yeah, you can't get into high-scoring games. It's a bad idea.
I mean, we're in game one, and the over-under sits at 202.
That is wild.
Now. Like, 202.
In 2022, that is a wild over-under.
Oh, God.
That's like 100 more points than the Suns scored the other night.
Boom, roasted.
do you realize, Evan, and I had forgotten about this, Bam Adebayo was the leading scorer for the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. I mean, he was automatic in that series. That was the finest moment
of his
career.
Al Horford wasn't on the Celtics.
Yeah.
Robert Williams wasn't the player that he is now. Right. So I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. And by the way, that's another sneaky one of, has Bam actually played that well on offense in the postseason? The answer is no. We're still waiting. We're still waiting for that Bam game and that Tyler game.
I know.
For both of them. Which, by the way, I think is actually exciting. Because I don't think they've overused Jimmy. And I think there's been some balance. I'll also tell you, I still believe, and you're going to think I'm nuts, there will be a game where Duncan Robinson is dusted off and hits six threes.
You still, because I thought that was coming last series.
I did too.
And then it didn't happen.
Yep, there'll still be a game. I still believe that. There will still be that game. I think, you know, the thing that I'm having a tough time reasoning with is, oh, well, wait till this. I don't even know that there is a wait till with Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
I can't confidently say he's going to play, and I can't confidently say he's going to play well.
Because even when he does play, what are you getting from him? That's my biggest thing, is maybe you bring him in a, oh, man, we're in a dire situation type of scenario. But why would you play him if you're still able to tread water without him, and maybe he can play in the finals? This is bad. This series is why you got Kyle Lowry, for late game situations, and now you don't have him. You have Gabe Vincent.
I agree. And the problem now is what you just said. What happens when he comes back? Like, are you sure we saw what happened at Philly. There was absolutely nothing that would make you want him to play.
No, he's just clutching his hamstring the entire time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Listen, I am confident because of the Heat, like, just being a fan. I am not confident based on looking at this matchup on paper, thinking about what the Celtics strength is versus what the Heat strength is. I will finish with this part. Well, not finish, but this is the thought that I have. Mm-hmm. There's one thing we haven't talked about that the Heat possess that no other team has. And that is the single best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
What are you laughing at, Stone? You don't agree with that?
No, I mean, just the fact that it's taken us this long to get to that point, being three segments in, is laughable. Because you're right.
Oh, he just threw the whole show under the bus. How about that?
Wait, I don't understand. Aren't you the producer? Don't you have a right to have input into the show?
The only thing
I don't understand. You're ripping the topics. You're the producer of the show. You're allowed to come up with a show sheet. You're allowed to email ideas and topics. And you just called the topic decision making on this show laughable. As the producer of the show, the topics decided to talk about on the show laughable per Stone.
Side note: we did speak about this earlier. In the earlier segment, is Ime Udoka performing better than Brad Stevens did in 2020? We did talk about that.
I don't know who that is. His name is Ime Udoka.
Udoka.
Either way, it's not Eric Spoelstra. And I think the Heat still win the matchup there.
Right.
Here's what I've said about Ime Udoka. He's the comeback coach of the year. There's no such award as that.
Oh, yeah.
But this team was down and out early on. And he had a plan. He knew it would work. And he found his way out of it. And he's with Nia Long. So you got to factor all of that in.
The Nia Long part is the biggest part.
Got to factor that in. Although Spo's wife ain't nothing to laugh at. Oh, my God. Yeah. Shout out to Nikki Spo. I'll see you.
I think you're going to like this real quick because Theo brought this up earlier today before Ken Lavica Live started. And I think this is right up your alley, if it's okay with Stone from a topic standpoint here.
Green light.
So who with this Heat organization on the outside should get the most credit for what the Heat currently are? Like, not associated.
What do you mean on the outside?
On the outside. Like, a team that didn't sign somebody, a team that traded somebody to the Heat, someone not associated with the Heat, a team, a player, a front office member who's most responsible for what this Heat team is now, where you can say, thank you. You are a major linchpin for what the Heat have become.
Wait, give me the category again. Who can...
Who should we be sending thank you cards to because of the poor decision-making they made that allowed the Heat roster to come together, whether it's a team that let go of Max Strus, whether it's the Sixers who picked
their guys over Jimmy Butler. I can't say Riley. I can't say Harrison.
It's got to be someone not associated with
the Heat. Okay. Because you said outside. I'm like, I don't know. I think we're all big fans. Okay, so for this year?
For this current iteration of the Heat, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to mind when I say this, not that they're listening, but it's the Bucks. Thank you for being satisfied with the championship and not willing to go into the tax for PJ Tucker.
Yep, that's excellent.
That was a great point.
You can argue the Heat are not here.
Because you're saying this year.
Yeah, this year.
Because Jimmy would have been years ago.
Yeah, but this year. Because you can still go back and say, thank you, 76ers, like he said, Tobias Harris. Or you could say, hey, Magic.
But Ken, remember, that was... Right, but that wasn't now. Like, so as we're thinking about this game tonight, and I'm thinking about like where they are right this second, Strus has already been here. Vince, and by the way, I think Strus is all about this Heat, not about anybody else. Meaning, I think if Max Strus stayed on the Celtics, stayed on the Bulls, whatever it is,
I don't think
he's the same player that he is now.
Yeah.
If Gabe Vincent went somewhere else, I don't think we'd be like, oh, man, they missed out on Gabe Vincent.
Good point.
Duncan is not a factor. Tyler Hero, I love, but it was a 14th pick or whatever he was in the draft. But at the same time, like we all sat here and say, hey, can they get more from him? I think when you're just thinking about this matchup, I literally said, start the defensive mindset if they don't play zone with the fact that you want PJ on Jason Tatum and work from there. He's only here because the Milwaukee Bucks said maybe Bobby Portis can replace him. He's younger, he's taller, he's longer. Lopez is banged up. He's a better replacement for Lopez, which they're right in that regard. And we won a championship last year, so we get a little leeway. And that frees up PJ Tucker. And without PJ Tucker, there's no way that they are here right now.
None. Absolutely not.
And
way.
Considering Markieff, who I like, had the injury with Jokic and has been a disaster this year because of it. So it's not like they, you know, because there was talk before the season. I even said I would have started Morris and brought PJ off the bench to preserve him until the finals. I'm sorry, until the playoffs.
Yeah.
And look what's happened. You haven't had to worry about that, knock on wood.
Evan, appreciate it. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. But man, this is going to be the toughest test without question.
I think that's a good way of looking at it. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's
Can I get go. The music before I go? Can I get the music one more time
Bring
before I go?
The Peppas. Ooh, you want it? Let's go. Evan, inspire us here. The Peppas
let's
is
go.
Coming. The Peppas
let's
is
go.
Coming.
Okay. All right.
Jimmy.
I'm stretching right now. I know this is long. Hopefully Stone approves of the topics.
I think we've gotten a thumbs up from him. It's good.
Okay. So here we go.
Okay.
As we sit here and we're moments away from the Eastern Conference Finals beginning, understand this. Danny Ainge, now with the Jazz, went at Pat Riley for years. And the Boston Celtics had what to say forever about Pat Riley. And he's sitting there with the Armani suits and ice upon ice with the hair slicked back and Zoe to one side and Mickey to the other side, and he's ready for tonight. He's been building this team from ground up, from Haywood Highsmith to Omer Yurtsevin to Jeremy Marks Peltz to Jimmy Butler. Woo! They're all ready for tonight, because tonight is when it begins. Tonight, it's the rematch between the Celtics and the Heat. Oh, it's in a bubble. It doesn't count my ass. We will see Victor Oladipo and all of his injuries. We'll see Tyler Hero. Duncan will get dusted off. Oh, my God. I didn't realize Max Strus can play defense. He feels like the first guy in the gym and the last guy to leave. Maybe his dad's the coach. He's a little scrappy. All of that will be said. Dwayne Dedman will be up there mean mugging everybody. Oh, you want to mess with Bam? He's coming for you tonight. And at the end of the day, we're all going to have our big face coffee, and we're going to drink it, and we're going to be playing in June. And I'll see you at in the Bay, because it's Heat. It's Warriors. It's coming. The two best organizations of the last 15 years in the sport finally settle it in the finals. Let's freaking go!
Let's go! Evan Cohen, 11:55 a.m., 5:55 p.m. every day here on ESPN 106.3. Thank you, Evan.
Thanks.
See you later. Theo Dorsey, WPTV News Channel 5, WFLX Fox 29. Stone the Battlewitz, Friday Night Lights tip-off is 45 minutes away. This has been Heating Up on ESPN 106.3. Bye-bye.